Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everybody and welcome to episode 88 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. In today's show we have Kelvin talking to Anthony Mayfield, author of Me and My Web Shadow. Enjoy.
Anthony, you've got a book called Web Shadows, which is a really interesting book, and we'll dive into some of the issues around it. But how did you come up with the idea of Web Shadows, and what's the kind of the concept behind that as a title?
The title's Me and My Web Shadow.
Yeah.
How to Manage Your Reputation Online. And really what I was looking at when I was researching the book, I came across a lot of people talking about people's digital footprints, people's online presence. And there was actually a phrase that Jeff Jarvis was using a lot, Google shadow, to describe the kind of the traces that the kind of the shadow that you cast on the internet, what you see when people go looking for you on Google. And I liked it. I liked it for a number of reasons. I liked it because shadows can grow. Shadows are always with you. That shadows aren't necessarily something that you control. That it's there on the web, whether you like it or not. And so it just seemed to fit. And obviously I wanted to go beyond just Google and look at social networking and all the other sorts of ways that people can have a presence on the internet. So that's how I alighted on the web shadow part of the title. And really, when I started writing the outline and planning the book, what I could see is that you can't really write a definitive guide to how you should behave on the internet, how everybody should behave on the internet. Things are moving too fast, and there's just too much diversity out there in terms of people, in terms of the things they can do on the web. So I had to give my perspective on what I thought were the best practices for people to manage their reputations online. So I called it Me and My Web Shadow because there's quite a lot of how I worked things out in there. So a little bit of sort of semi autobiography, I guess. But yeah, I mean, the subtitle says it all. It's about how to manage your reputation online. I'm a PR guy by trade, and I just took a lot of lessons from that kind of world into how suddenly everybody's having to think about their public self, their reputation.
And did you kind of come across, so do you think most people are coming to that with a kind of knowledge, I should be managing my reputation and my presence online, managing my web shadow? Or do you think people are coming going, oh, I didn't necessarily realise that was something I should be thinking about? Do you think they've kind of got that awareness but not sure how to deal with it, or the other way around?
I mean, I wrote it with the kind of the photos and the personas of a few close friends and family members and colleagues pinned up to remind me who I was writing it for. And the truth is that there's a very wide range of attitudes towards this, ranging from some people I spoke to who were like, well, this has got nothing to do with me because I don't have an internet presence. So it's interesting what you're talking about, but I don't really need to worry about that. And to them, I'd say, well, you know, Google yourself. And very, very often they'd then say, ah, yes, I understand. Just because I haven't set up a personal website or I haven't gone onto Facebook yet doesn't mean that there's not traces of me on the internet, echoes of some of the things that I've done. And that ranging right through to people who are like, well, you know what, this has just been bugging me for ages. I know that I should be taking this more seriously. I should be doing more, even just so that I've got the, you know, the 21st century equivalent of a decent CV out there. I need to take care of this aspect of my working life or my personal life. So all of those different attitudes were in mind when I was writing the book.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, I definitely can see that it's definitely headed in that direction, because from a personal experience, I find if I search for someone and can't find any real reference to them, particularly, I suppose I'm somewhat biased working in the, you know, in the digital world, as it were. So if there's someone I come into contact with, search for them and don't find any mention of them, I find that a little bit unusual, as it were, and it kind of makes me probably trust them a little bit less to some extent. Do you think that's a kind of prevailing attitude, or is it a bit unusual there?
You know, no, that's becoming more and more common. People Google each other or look for each other on the internet for all sorts of reasons, whether they're going on a date with them, whether they're giving them a bank loan, whether they're thinking of employing them, all these sorts of different reasons. And opting out, you know, keeping yourself out of the limelight, keeping yourself offline, doesn't really seem to be an option anymore, because in a lot of circumstances, people are going to be more suspicious because there's no trace of you. I mean, naturally, in digital marketing, we've been there a little bit longer, where if someone claims to be proficient in using the internet, someone claims to have expert knowledge in this field, and you can't find any trace of them, well, what's going on? But that's an attitude that's spreading further and further afield as you know, web use and social media use becomes more of a mainstream activity in kind of all walks of life. I mean, it was interesting to hear Google's chairman Eric Schmidt talking about people needing to change their names after college. It seems like an extreme solution, but. But one that I'm sure people will seriously consider. But equally, once they've done that, they've got no past. And what does that mean? What are you hiding?
And I suppose, how do you feel about the kind of, yeah, because I saw that quote from Eric Schmidt, and it got quite, you know, quite a lot of people talking about it. And it's like, okay, I can understand that. And I've never been a big advocate of that approach of maintaining separate, like online identities, as it were. So there, here's my private life, here's my professional one, here's my one where I'm talking about this aspect of my hobbies. Here's one where I'm talking. Basically, my username is either Kelvin or Kelvin Newman. I've always been that approach. Do you think that there's a danger of kind of sharing too much, particularly when you kind of, with the development of more kind of location-based networks as well, Anthony? Do you think that, you know, some of us are probably going to live to regret that to a certain extent?
Yeah, probably some of us are. There's no absolute answer here, but there is a danger of sharing too much. There is a danger of sharing inappropriately for a lot of people. I think, you know, we'll get over it. We'll get the reputational equivalent of a few grazed knees, and learn our lessons and move on. I think that there's two things that are going to mature quite quickly. One is the technology, which is actually, even though it's very, very powerful when it comes to things like Facebook and social networks, and there's millions and millions of people suddenly discovering the social web for the first time over the last couple of years. It's incredibly powerful, but also incredibly clumsy. And incredibly unwieldy. There's been some lovely work done by user experience researchers at Google about just the idea of posting things on Facebook and how quickly people can become confused when they're posting photos and messages for one group of people, and they're almost completely forgetting that they've actually got colleagues and friends and relatives who are seeing that at the same time. People are going to become more sophisticated in how they think about what they share. And also the technology is going to be a bit simpler to use and a bit more versatile. I mean, broadcasting everything, if you have to broadcast everything that you post online to everybody in the world, that's not really sustainable. It's not really effective communication. I think we're at a very early stage in both the sophistication of behaviors and how sophisticated the technologies are.
And I know in the book you share kind of a, for someone who's, you know, I've never really managed my reputation online, I know that there's something I should be doing. You kind of take us through like a bit of a process of, you know, some good things to do and some good things to think about and some, you know, practical steps that, yes, might not work for everyone in every situation, but, you know, is a good process to go through. Can you kind of share some of those tips, Anthony, in terms of the steps to go through?
Yeah, well, I mean, what I tried to do was keep it as general as possible and start with the stuff that was absolutely essential. Because although I say that everybody's going to find their own approach, their own way of dealing with their online reputation, there are certain things which, you know, you've just got to be... You've got to be a little bit stupid if you're not doing. And the first of those is really going out there and checking what your own web shadow is, going and checking what's out there about you. And that means logging out of Google, logging out of Facebook, and pretending you're a stranger coming looking for you. What can you find? What's out there? What do people see? And so being aware of what it looks like is obviously the first thing. And then really... the next thing that I'd regard as due diligence would be trying to be easily found by having some kind of online presence, even if it's just in the places where most people are going to look for you first. So for most people, that's going to mean making sure you've got a complete LinkedIn profile, because lots of employers will generally look there. And also making sure that you've got a Facebook profile. You don't have to be on Facebook every day. You don't have to be there all the time, but you want to be there so that people can find you if they're trying to get in touch. And as you say, make sure that you've got a presence rather than you're just completely absent from the system.
And so what's the top tips then for kind of, you know, I do the classic, I've got a Google alert set up for my name, and I'm quite fortunate that there's not many Kelvin Newmans about, so I only really tend to get references when it's for me. But actually, interestingly, over the last week, maybe 2 weeks, there's another chap who's had a blog around, a guy out in Japan.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I believe it started using it a lot more regularly, so I'm kind of getting updates there, and that's quite unusual for me because I'm only used to having the one Kelvin, as it were. But what would your tips be for people who've kind of got, you know, a John Smith name, or people kind of where you want to manage your reputation, but there's potentially 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or maybe even, you know, hundreds of people with a very similar name going through a similar process?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's interesting. And the first thing that that John Smith needs to do, hello, John, the first thing that John or Jane Smith needs to do is go through the process of trying to find yourself as if you were a stranger. Now, you put John Smith into the search engine, it's unlikely you're going to be at the top of the results, and probably a well-known brand of bitter is going to be there. But what's that person who wants to find out information about you going to do next? They're probably going to put your name with a company name, with a location, with places you went to school, places you worked before, and try and find you that way. What can they see then? And if you're kind of thinking about wanting to make yourself stand out a little, if you're thinking about wanting to be found and to grow a reputation online, then it's probably a good idea to be thinking about having kind of a personal brand. I'm kind of careful to use that term because I don't feel
Like a moniker, I suppose, is the way of doing it, isn't it?
So, you know, I mean, even myself, I use A. Mayfield. That's what I use across everything. I'm lucky I got there first. But, you know, a username that people can find me easily by and that makes it quite easy to connect up all of my profiles. Probably if I'm going to be blogging and my name's John Smith, then I'm not going to be calling it the John Smith blog. And I'm going to be thinking of something else to brand it up as. And just making sure that when I'm talking about myself, I'm talking about myself in the context of things that I want to be known for and that are going to identify me. So where I live, or, you know, not literally your address, but, you know, the kind of the area that you live in, or a hobby that you're particularly keen to connect with other people on, or perhaps your profession. Obviously, then making sure that you use a consistent photograph or a consistent image to represent yourself as avatars on the different networks can be helpful. Those sorts of things can be useful, but probably the most important thing is to make sure that all of your different parts of your online presence, so your LinkedIn profile, your blog, your Twitter profile, anything else, any company information that's on your company website about you, is trying to make sure that all of those things are connected so that they all link to each other, and probably that you've got a hub in there somewhere, either a personal web page, you know, like a blog, or just a personal web page, or something like the I really like the Flavors Me kind of aggregation site, where you can list all of the places that you are online, and then, you know, a bit like a company would, making sure that you use that calling address, or that .tel domain name is quite a useful one. If you use that in your email signatures, on your CVs, in any communications, then people get used to knowing that that's where to find you and where the information about you is.
Yeah, and in terms of that flavor, is it Flavor Me's that as well? Because my colleague Andy, when recording an episode that will have gone out a couple of weeks ago, a few days ago, was talking about that. Can you just talk a bit through about the kind of concept behind that and the execution of that? Because I think that's a good idea for a lot of people wanting to take this kind of reputation stuff reasonably seriously.
Yeah, it's actually a colleague of mine at iCrossing, Matt Neal, flagged this up to me, and I absolutely love it. Just as a kind of a really simple personal ID page. And I think these sorts of things are going to become more and more common as people get more sophisticated in their web use. But basically with Flavors Me, you sign up for an account. It's free to try it out on a basic version with limited options as to what it looks like. You choose yourself a nice wallpaper, upload a photograph or whatever, and you say, my name is, you know, Anthony in big letters, and here's my blog, here's my Flickr account for my photos, this is my company blog, and this is my Twitter, or whatever you want to be available to the world. And then you've got a domain, flavorsme.com/ whatever, or I think you can connect it to a domain name, not entirely sure about that. And it's just a nice, simple way to tie everything together. Because you might, you know, what services you're using might change over time. You might go off Facebook. Imposterous might be the big thing for you. But you've got an address that kind of anchors your whole internet presence. And obviously, as you know, Kelvin, it's that connecting up things, linking, cross-linking between your different presences, that's going to help you rank higher in search for your own name, or for you know, kind of variations on that, your name plus your company, your name plus a blog name, etc.
No, I think that's a really good idea, and it's an interesting website that I think for a lot of people would be worth exploring there, because it's that kind of, for a lot of people, it's that, yeah, if you have that central place that everything else refers back to there, then you can at least kind of draw the connections, because that's a problem I've had in the past, where you've got someone with, you know, a name where there might be three or four variations out there, and it's that kind of, okay, well, does that I want to add them on Facebook, but does that Facebook profile tie up with that Twitter account that I know, and vice versa there? And I think that could do quite a good job of making the connections there. Another question for you. I mean, I suppose some of the people who are going to be coming to this, okay, I need to look at my reputation online, it's going to be because there's negative feedback about them, or a other person who they don't necessarily want to be associated with. I mean, a great example of this was I was delivering a training course to some B&B owners, and one of the B&B owners' wife had a not the kind of her name exactly the same. There was someone who was featured in a news story locally that you wouldn't necessarily want to be associated with, shall we say. Not dissimilar to some of Wayne Rooney's recent escapades. And he was talking about how, they kind of went out and deliberately had to build up quite a big web presence separating the two names and the two associations that it was there. Have you got any tips for people who are kind of dealing with that? I've got someone else in my name who I don't want to be associated with, or I've got a bad rep. How can I go about changing that?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, it ties in with a lot of the general advice. I mean, one of the things that obviously, like the sort of the second rule, as it were, in the book is be the best and first source of information about yourself. That should be your goal if you're going to take this seriously. So you want to be ranking near the top of search results for your name or combinations of your name or whatever. Really, the best cure here is prevention. So if you haven't had anything bad happen to you similar to that, then that's no reason not to get out there and establish that presence and make sure you've got equity in the search engine, so you've got presence on the social networks before anything happens. The best form of defense is to be there already. Mm-hmm. But you need to what you need to do is bear a few things in mind. The first of all, and people don't often like to hear it, I'm afraid, but is that you need to get a thicker skin sometimes. If it's genuine criticism, not a case of mistaken identity like the one you mentioned, or you've got somebody with the same name out there doing nasty things. If it is somebody criticizing you, if you have been attacked on a forum or something similar to that, then sometimes getting a thicker skin and not worrying about it too much is the best approach. But if you've got some seriously negative stuff out there, then the best approach is going to be to establish a strong web presence for yourself. Sign up for all of the appropriate social networks where you can be found. Cross connect those, and then be useful. You know, be talking about some interesting things. Start blogging on on a personal blog. Start gaining attention for yourself, and you'll soon be at the top of the rankings. If it's an isolated piece of news, for instance, that's going to slip down the rankings in the search engines fairly quickly. And you just got to kind of stick with it in terms of making sure that people find you first. Often people aren't going to look through past the first results. They just want to check you out. They want to see your LinkedIn profile. Better for them to find that than some negative stories that are out there for whatever reason.
Brilliant. No, I think there's some great advice there for people either who are, have a reason to be concerned about it, or just, you know, yeah, taking a preventative step there to make sure that they've got a really good reputation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Well, yeah, no, thanks very much for that, Anthony. That's absolutely perfect on the timing there. I think that's some really good advice for people there.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150, and you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.